Revelation chapter 9, we'll begin in verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. I thought about the unclouded day. It's going to be so much better. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, excuse me, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Let's pray. My Father, as we see the scene set forth in your holy word, it is a frightening scene. And Lord, how thankful we are that we have an advocate in our Lord Jesus Christ, whereby we might escape these horrors and those that are even greater that shall be hereafter. We ask, Father, that you would even use this, Lord, to cause people to see the judgment that will befall those who will reject the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray, Father, that you would help us, Lord, to be so much more grateful than we have in past times as we think of the things that you will spare us of, especially those of us living in this church age. We ask, Father, now that you would prepare our hearts, Lord, to receive your word. And Father, we pray these things in the name of the one whose name is above every name, the name of Jesus, and for his sake. Amen. We're dealing with the subject of the fifth angel sounding the fifth trumpet. This section begins the beginning of the last three woes that are mentioned in the previous chapter that we had dealt with in Revelation 8:13. And it says, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe," each woe for each one of those trumpets. to the inhabitants of the earth, which is a term often used to the world, the unsaved, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. The fact that we have so many more details and devastation that's described in these last three woes associated with the severe judgments and resulting torments of people upon the earth have to do with these last three trumpets sounding. It demonstrates the increased destruction in this period of the Great Tribulation. This planet in which we live on, this planet where man resides, man who is made in the image of God, he is therefore the target of Satan, and ever since he rebelled against God and was cast to the earth and into the atmosphere of the earth, and the stage upon which this cosmic conflict has raged between good and evil, God and Satan, man and Satan, God and man, has raged for thousands of years. And this has been evident. It's nothing that is foreign to anybody that even with a surface knowledge of things. This has been evident since the garden there where Adam and Eve fell. It was evidence in the days of Noah. It was evidence when the overthrow of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was evidence when the children of Israel were persecuted by the Egyptians. It was evident when in the days of Athaliah, when she desired to destroy the promised seed. It was evident when at the birth of Christ, when Herod and his murderous plot to kill the Messiah before he went to Calvary. It was evident in Satan's opposition there to Christ when he tempted him there in the wilderness. It was evident when the opposition that Jesus experienced when the religious leaders sought to destroy him. It was evident at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. It was evident during the persecution of the Lord's churches. It was evident during the persecution of the Lord's churches in the dark ages, even up to this time. There is a conflict going on between good and evil, between that was good and that which is bad. That we see these cosmic forces made literal in the sense that before the eyes of people, these demonic forces that we see playing out in the world today. You cannot listen to the news and tell me there is no demonic forces at work. There's evil going on in the world. And Jesus talks about the iniquity abounding in the last days. We see that that is occurring in our world today. We see the serial killers and the occultic fascination that people have with the dark things of Satan. The good thing is, though, beloved, in the end, Christ is the victor, and we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Never forget that. Mankind will suffer such judgment from God as we had read. But sad to say, many will refuse to repent. The devil will play into the hand of God to bring judgment on this earth, only to be overthrown with a great damnation in the end. because of his rebellious foolishness. And so we want to look at this and divide it into four sections. We're going to look at, first of all, the opening of the bottomless pit. Then we shall look at the locust of the bottomless pit, the angel of the bottomless pit, and the woes beyond the bottomless pit. Let's look first of all at the opening of the bottomless pit. We see, and the fifth angel sounded. Remember, we talked about these are the angels that were in the presence of God. Some call them presence angels, that they were of special high rank as angels. And this fifth angel sounded the fifth trumpet. And we note again that there were seven seals followed by seven trumpets. The first four seals and trumpets presented judgments directed against the earth. Then the first four seals, there were the four horsemen of the apocalypse bringing tyranny and war and famine and death on the earth. And the first four trumpets, we find that there was that ecological destruction of the vegetation, the seas and the fresh waters and the heavens. And then in the last three seals, we saw that the focus was on heaven. Upon the heavens, in the sense of the cry of the martyrs and the cosmic disturbances that were occurring, and the heavenly parenthesis, if you will, to the seven trumpets. But here, in the beginning of the last three trumpets, the last three woes, instead of heaven, like we saw with the seals, we see the focus is upon hell in terms of the demonic. So now verse 2 says, and I saw a star, I'm sorry, the last part of verse 1. And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. Now as we look at this, we see that it's obvious. This is as stars are representative of angels, that this is what this is speaking of. This angel of Revelation 9:1 is the same angel that's mentioned there in Revelation 9:11. It is an evil angel. It is Satan himself. We find the fall of Lucifer is found in Isaiah 14, and this particular one that's mentioned here, this is different than the fall originally where he took a third of the angels, okay, and was cast out of heaven. This is a different one. It says there in Isaiah 14, 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, is cast to the earth, which did weaken the nations. You see, this was after there were nations. So it's talking about this particular time. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. You know, Satan presently is the god of this world. Satan presently is the prince and power of the air. Satan presently is allowed access, as in the days of Job, to go and accuse us. The Satan means, or devil means slanderer. He's an accuser of the brethren. He is now accusing us. But there's going to be a time in which that kind of access to God will be no longer. And this will be a sign that this prophecy is mentioned there in Isaiah is going to be fulfilled, and his time is short, and he's going to be going down to hell. Just like this prophecy in Isaiah speaks of. We find that his abode and his dominion is restricted. And this is further detailed for us in Revelation chapter 12, when Satan and his angel are defeated by Michael and his angels. But Satan knows his time is running out and his plans are being thwarted. And so now it says, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Jesus has keys of death and hell. Jesus has the authority. And he gives these keys to this particular place. This bottomless pit was given to Satan for a particular purpose at a particular time that furthers the plan of God. The devil, Lucifer, this fallen angel, serves God's purposes even if he does not intend to do so. He is. This bottomless pit is a deep abyss that God has created that has no bottom. Now, I don't understand that, but I just know what God's Word says. But can you imagine being in a place where you're falling and continuing to fall and there's no bottom? It was a prison for certain demons. We touched on this a little bit in our biblical base of Baptist beliefs when we dealt with devils and angels. But these angels committed vile sins. They were not allowed to have the liberties that the other angels that followed Satan had, these demons. 2 Peter 2:4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So, which angels are you talking about? I'm not talking about all of them, because there are demons that possess people and that Jesus cast out. And they're further identified in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, and might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering God waited, which the time? In the days of Noah. Referring to Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. While the ark was apparent, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. Jude makes mention too, and says that the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. And makes a comparison between the Sodomites, the Sodom and Gomorrah, going after strange flesh because they had engaged in those kinds of physical acts with human women, and giants were on the earth, and so on. So they had committed a gross immoral act, and for that, they were cast into this great abyss, this bottomless pit. And so here in verse 2, it says, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. This pit was opened by Satan. In his rage and wrath, gladly opens this bottomless pit that's going to wreak havoc upon this earth worse than anything that mankind had ever experienced. It's worse than releasing the dinosaurs, the T-Rexes, or whatever upon the earth. It's going to be worse than that could be. We find there, it says, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, and as the smoke of a great furnace. This is what happened after he opened that pit. And smoke is oftentimes in Scripture referred to in terms of judgment. It was symbolic of judgment that was about to fall. It was so great, it says there in the last part of that verse 2, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. The massive volume of smoke that was belching out of this bottomless pit shall darken the sky and pollute the air with the corruption of this bottomless pit. And it's no doubt going to strike horror and the hearts of men at that time that dwell upon the earth. So now we come to, secondly, the locusts of the bottomless pit. And there came out of the smoke locust upon the earth. Out of this dark and ominous billows of smoke that terrorized the earth shall come a greater terror that will come out of that smoke and will reveal itself as vile demons with a grotesque appearance of an unbelievable numerical strength of locusts. The idea is that part of the judgment, the great tribulation upon mankind, is that God will allow demonic hordes that had previously been imprisoned, wicked, vile, of the worst of the demons to come on this earth and descend upon the earth like a swarm of destructive locusts. Once more we're reminded, as the Jews will be reminded during that time, of the plagues that came upon the Egyptians in the days of Moses, where they destroyed every green thing there in Egypt. In Exodus chapter 10, the greatest plague that's ever been recorded in modern times hit the Middle East between 1951 and 1952, and it stretched all the way from Iran, Iraq, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia. And it destroyed every green thing that was in its path over hundreds of thousands of square miles. Can you imagine that? That kind of massive horde of locusts that went across the landscape and leaving nothing but a desert of barrenness as far as you could see. That's not even come close to the scale of destruction that's going to happen as a result of these demons that are coming on the earth. And it says, and it was, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, first of all, these locust swarms are characteristically and unimaginably huge and cause panic in the hearts of the people. It's like a great black cloud as it descends and devastates the landscape. But now we see, obviously, this is something more than just natural locust. These are those that are like scorpions. They're not like natural locusts, because we find later on that they don't touch the greenery. That their sole purpose, these hordes of demons being loosed upon the earth, is to torment people. You know, there's the sting of about 20 species of scorpions cause excruciating pain, convulsions, and death of these 20. All those things. Now, there's many more different species of them, but this is the only way that John could describe it. It's so horrible. But this dark and sinister and innumerable host of the most cruel and powerful demons shall be worse than releasing the most violent and the most vile and the most demented and most psychopath criminals out of our prison systems and out of our insane asylums. It's going to be worse than that. Can you imagine that kind of chaos? Satan releases his most diabolical demons to torment humanity. Verse 4 continues and says, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the green grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree Well, you understand the previous dormant grass brown grass of winter has grown up now, and some of the grass that was destroyed previously in the previous chapter has regrown. But again, this is another indicator. These were just not just regular locusts. But it says, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. That's characteristic of God, is that He spares His people. We find that there in Exodus, where the land of Goshen was not touched by those plagues. God protects His people. We see that evidenced here. I thought about that and what a blessing that is, but just think of having to see all that. It's going to be horrible, horrible time to live. Even as a saved person, knowing you're protected. But it says in Revelation chapter 14, verse 1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood upon Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And Revelation 22, 4, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. That is a mark or a seal of God's people. So it's not just 144,000 that are not going to be touched by this, but also all of God's people there. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So now verse 5 continues and says, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, though in their rage and hatred of mankind, they no doubt would have loved to have killed them and destroyed them immediately, but that they should be tormented 5 months. This torment was great, but it was temporary. That right there is the mercy of God. That is the mercy of God. And I'll tell you a little bit why that is a mercy of God. There, and it says, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. And this torment is translated as punishment and pain. And as a scorpion, these demons inflict pain and punishment multiple times. Not like a honeybee where it loses its stinger, but continues and continues and continues like a wasp and a scorpion to sting over and over and over again. The purpose and the period expressly governed by God, and the purpose of all this partly was that they may repent. It was a merciful act that God didn't have them just be killed right then and there. But amazingly for many, they were permanently hardened in their unbelief, and their reprobation is revealed, and their hopelessness is revealed. Verse 6 tells us that this is going to be, in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. The pain is going to be so great that people will try to commit suicide. The world is in a horrible and hopeless condition from the plagues of fire from heaven and earthquakes and poisoned water and violent storms and tsunamis and the resulting piles of putrefying bodies all over. And the plans of the Antichrist are unraveling. It's going to be all hopeless to them. The excruciating and untreatable pain. You know, the atheists and the agnostics publicly acknowledge their leaders that there's no hope if you don't believe in God. If you don't believe in God, there is no hope. This is as good as it gets. What an advertisement. that what has led people like Chesterton, G.K. Chesterton, to leave atheism and embrace Christianity. It's sad. There's no hope. There's no outlook with any purpose. There's no meaning. And due to the increase of this kind of thinking, what they're really saying is that I'm God, I'm going to take care of things. And they can find out that their deity of themselves, so-called deity of themselves, is going to crumble before them. They cannot do anything to stop this. They're going to be totally helpless. They'll see their own hopelessness. But in a maddening rage against God and in sorrow, they'll desire to die and to suffer than to repent and turn to Jesus Christ. The logic behind that and the folly behind that is scary. It's no surprise in our culture today why we have the suicides that we have, why we have the nonsense that we have. Because we are embracing this nonsense. This nonsensical philosophy that there is no God. I read something the other day, and I started studying. Some of you may remember the Columbine shootings. Let me read you something about them. Their whole idea of death as an escape. You know, they killed themselves after they did all they did. It says, the infamous murders of Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado made chilling home movies before their killing spree. Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold left behind a videotape document spelling out their motivation. And it's sad if you read about how they were treated in school. It was the bullying, the making fun of, and stuff you see in schools today. It's ridiculous. But there's no excuse. He knew some Christians. They knew some Christians. They asked them, do you believe in God? Do you believe in the existence of God? While they went through their killing spree. But it says, in the last segment of the tape shot the morning of the murders, Harris and Klebold are dressed and say they are ready for our little judgment day. Then Klebold, looking tense, says goodbye to his parents. He concludes, I don't like life too much. Just know I am going to a better place than here. What a tragic deception. Amen. To think after they did what they did, that they imagined that they were going to someplace better. It's sad. There was no escape. Matter of fact, they went from the frying pan to the fire. That's where they went. And so it shall be for anybody who embraces and begins to dabble with this nonsense. This Satan, he's a destroyer, and he wants to destroy. He's behind the suicides. He's going to be behind all of this here that we see recorded here in Revelation. And it says there, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. I want you to notice in this verse and in the following verse, we see the metaphorical language. I mean, there was nothing that John could pinpoint as to these were going to be so grotesque and awful looking that the best he could do is come up with metaphorical symbolic language like unto horses. Heads were as it were crowns like gold. Faces as the faces of men. And hair as the hair of women. Teeth were as the teeth of lions, as it were, breastplates of iron, wings as the sound of hair, tails like unto scorpions. And that's the best he could do with what he knew. It was so awful. The whole total impact that we see of this picture is an incredibly awful and evil cruelty. It says, and the shape of those locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. This signifies that these demonic creatures were warlike and powerful and defiantly eager to enter into battle as a horse neighs and snorts and paws at the ground, anticipating the destruction and the torment, if you will, of people. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns of gold. This is that same word, Stephanos, in the Greek. That is not one of nobility, but one of victory. In other words, these hordes of demons will be unconquerable. They will be unstoppable. There's nothing, no so-called exorcists that are going to be able to do anything to stop these or to hinder them from doing their work of destruction. And then we find, and they had hair, and their faces were as the faces of men, which is symbolic of intelligence. They were intelligent, brilliant creatures. That's nothing. It's not like a dumb brute beast that might be able to trick. But these people will not be able to trick, deceive, or do anything to escape from these demons. And they had hair as a hair of women, which is symbolic of this seductiveness and alluringness of and attractiveness of the hair of women, so as to cause them to have some kind of attraction to the sight. Like the sirens of the ancient Greek mythology, remember, where they would sing their songs and would just attract and mesmerize those men. And their teeth were as the teeth of lion. Describes the ferocity and cruelty of these demons as they rip and shreds people. Inflicting and ripping these people with teeth that are greater than that of lions. And verse 9 continues and says, and they had breastplates, as it were, of breastplates of iron. This once again describes their invincibility as far as man is concerned. Man has no weapon to destroy, has no weapon to resist, no way to stop this vast multitude of demons. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. There's a terrifying noise that they made with their wings that would strike panic and fear in the hearts and the masses of the people as this massive global onslaught of this full-scale devilish devastation that's going to occur during the Great Tribulation. And verse 10 says, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And like, again, scorpions with the stingers in the tails to inflict pain, these evil demons had the sole intent and purpose to torment people. Now, what kind of torment is it going to be? Well, we have maybe an inkling of what that's going to be like, because we see people who are demon-possessed in the Bible. We see that the men of the Gadarenes, and how that they were tormented there. They were insane. They had gone mad. And they were dwelling in tombs. The affliction of insanity. I think I mentioned before, I've been to those places to visit loved ones of people that I know. And it's a scary place. It's a scary place. The Bible speaks of those possessed by demons as throwing themselves into fire, flowing themselves into the water. It speaks of self-destruction and the convulsions and paralysis. Don't we see that kind of thing happening today? Just the whole idea of piercing themselves with so many things. It's self-destructive. It's demonic. And all these tattoos are, they're needles, It's a piercing. It's demonic. It's this part of the little ways in which Satan showing his hatred toward mankind, and mankind is falling for the nonsense and paying for it, of all things. Quite a bit of money. But it says there in verse 11, now we see the angel of the bottomless pit. And they had a king over them. This is another indication. These creatures were not just normal locusts. Because the Bible tells us in Proverbs 30, verse 27, the locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them by bands. But these, quote-unquote, locusts had a king. And it tells us that it's the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, which means perdition, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon, which means destroyer. The same thought of destruction and torment. The angel of the bottomless pit, since he is a king of these locusts, and since he has the name of Abaddon and Apollyon, this is obviously the prince of the demons, Lucifer, the fallen angel, Satan himself, who is headed for eternal torment and destruction along with his demonic host. You know what's going to happen? All these people who sadly are involved in the occult and devil worship and demonic worship are going to find out that these demons and Satan himself is not their friend. They're going to find out that they're going to be tormented by these very ones they seek to honor. They're going to find out just how foolish and sad their religion is. So now, lastly, we see the woes beyond the bottomless pit. One woe is past. Behold, there come two woes more hereafter. This is just the first woe. The sixth and seventh trumpet is going to signify the second and third woes. And the seventh trumpet contains the pouring out of the seven vials. The worst is yet to come. The worst is yet to come. Worst in terms of the woes yet to come in the great tribulation. Worst in terms of the everlasting woes that are yet to come and the great damnation in hell and the lake of fire. In the period immediately before the end, the wicked will be subjected to the most unprecedented demonic torment. It's going to be a horrible time to live in. A horrible time. If you don't know Jesus Christ, and you're still alive then, spare yourself. Think about it. Really seriously think about it. Flee the wrath to come. Because if you don't, you may very well go through this time. You're going to definitely go through a time of God's wrath and holy justice upon sin. May you be one of those who will be able to say before God, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul through my Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is a defeated foe to God's people. He's a defeated foe already in the eyes of God, as well as his minions through Christ Jesus and through him alone. I think sometimes the people today are like the people Paul addressed in Acts chapter 13. And this is what he said to them. In verse 38, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that is Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. There's hope in Christ. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware! You've been told! Beware! Therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets, behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Don't I hope and pray you're not going to be in that number of those despisers who are going to perish forever in the flames of hell. And may we be busy about our Father's business to warn people to flee that wrath to come. I mean, this description here is from like a horror flick. It's worse than a horror flick. People have nightmares watching movies like that. This is going to be worse. This is going to be reality. It's not just going to be a 2-hour flick, but it's going to last at least 5 months. So may God help us to respond appropriately, whatever your situation is, to this and give glory to God. We'll go ahead and close. I'm going to ask Brother Wayne, if you could, lead us in word of prayer and ask blessing on the food.